everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well and having a wonderful week. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we open up our service. Really looking forward to see as the Lord is just so much anticipation of what the Lord's doing in our church and in our lives. And just continue want to give Him all the honor and glory. If you have, does anybody on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Yes, ma'am. Sure. Miss Lori, did I see your hand? Oh, goodness. God does know. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else? Yes, Mrs. Absolutely. Absolutely. I see Mrs. Michelle.
Well, that guy?
He has a horn.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Sister Tabitha, did I see your hand raised? Absolutely. God, just to cover that house. Oh, absolutely. Anyone on my left side with this puppet? Yes, brother. Absolutely. We have to keep in our prayers. Anyone else in the congregation? I don't want to miss one. Yes, brother Adam. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyone else in the congregation? I don't want to miss anyone. In the box. Anyone up on the roster? Did I miss one? Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Wendy. I'm sorry. Anyone else? All right. If you have any unspoken, just show by the raising of your hand. Praise God. Brother Eddie, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your many blessings for this day, this night of opportunity, God, together, together.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray your blessing and your anointing upon every part of this service. God, bless every song that's sung, every word that is spoken. Let it be for your honor and for your glory. Father, these many requests tonight, God, we bring before you, knowing that you are the healer of the body. Father, we pray, God, for each and every situation. Reach there and bless those, God, who contacted this COVID. God, we know, Lord, that you're greater than that. Father,
yes,
I pray, Lord, that you would move in each and every situation. Lord, I pray, God, for every hand that was raised tonight and every name that was mentioned. God, I know, Lord, we're believing for healing for their bodies. Lord, we ask you to bless those and bring those to an altar of repentance. God, those that are lost, seemingly unconcerned about their salvation. Father, I pray for a mighty move of your Spirit. We'll look to you, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I never forget page 130. While you're standing, turn to page 130. I never shall forget the day. All y'all just praise the Lord. You know, with all the prayer requests, just in our small congregation here this evening, as many needs that are going forth and we know what God can, and I just want to thank Him for honoring our prayers and just for being in charge and in control. I never shall forget the day. I'm sorry. Seated if you can. Just praise God. Got one big announcement as we continue to talk about a revival coming up. We are having our revival August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's a Monday through Wednesday. Really excited about it. And I know we've had a lot of talk, and I know there are those that are being much prayer for this revival and asking everyone to really just turn all of our attention, invite somebody, let them know about what God is doing and how exciting it is, especially during these times. There's so many seeking out an answer. And through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the only answer that I know. That is the name above all names. Praise God. It'll be Brother Jefferson Morrow will be doing the revival. We have a couple of the churches coming that will join in with us on certain nights. It'll be just a wonderful time in the Lord. So just make plans to come. And I know they're posted on the screen, so anyone watching live now or at a later date will be able to see it. And just like I said, just to get the word out. But most of all, let's be in prayer for the move of God and just for His will to be done in this revival. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering.
Seven p.m.
I'm sorry. Okay, great. I didn't have that ready. I didn't want to tell you wrong. 7 p.m. Praise the Lord. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Special singers this evening, and I'm going to ask y'all to, if you would, just come on up. Sister Linda, if you'll go first, just come on ahead this way, and then Brother Jim, and then Brother Jeff and Miss Tabitha, y'all come on up this way, and we'll just get y'all set up. Get, just praise the Lord.
You know, we go through a lot of things down here, and we wonder, Lord, when you're going to come on the scene? You know, when are you going to intercede for us? When you're going to do this for us? You know, when are you going to help? Haven't I suffered enough? You know, but it's all in His timing. I know that that sounds like almost like a cliche. We hear it so much, but it is in His timing. But we do. We've got to hold on. No matter what the circumstances are, we have to hold on because help is on the way.
Today I took a little trip over to Carrollton, on the other side of Carrollton, on North, South 27. And I was taking the back roads, and I was passing all these big homes and stuff out there. And me and Karen was talking, and I said, man, look at these nice mansions. Look how big they are. I said, I wonder what that'd be like. Then it dawned on me, you know. I got a mansion better than any of those waiting for me, you know, just over the hilltop. Amen. All right. chorus first. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. Streets that are pure as gold, all golden tinted, torment and tested, and like the prophet, my pillars are stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know you'll give me a mansion of my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never go. Someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm been bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Can we do the chorus again? And if you honestly believe that you got a mansion and wings for you over the hilltop, stand up and sing this chorus with me, all right? Okay? Let's let the Lord know that you really believe that there's a mansion there waiting on you. All right? Sing it with your heart.
I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold.
God bless you.
Amen. Oh, thank you, sister wife. What am I going to do by myself? NG. We'll throw a little A7 in there, A minor 7. All right. Just worship with me. I don't know if you have the words to Here I Am to worship, but I could use help of everybody out there. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, praise your name. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. We praise you, Lord. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon. Let's sing it one more time. I'll never know. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down.
Here I am to bow.
Here I am to say you are my God.
Here I am to say
that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, Lord. Together lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
sang this last night at the ladies' meeting, but I was thinking about this song all through the day today, even. The Word of the Lord. Whatever we need is in the Word. Amen. We can go to the Word no matter what. Sister Linda taught on faith last night, and I was just thinking about faith and how we can go to the Word when our faith gets weak. That's where we draw our strength, is from the Word. Would y'all listen to the words of this song tonight?
As you pour out your sorrow through tears, you're waiting for words from the voice you long to hear. The Word of the Lord will come. God will speak with a still small time of need. The Word of the Lord will come. God will bring strength and hope, healing in His wings. The Word of the Lord will come. You wonder at the sight
Thank God for the Word. I said, thank God for the Word. Many depends on the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to see that you folks are practicing social distancing tonight. You know, we're doing really, really well. It's just kind of spotted here, there, and everywhere. But that's good. That's great. We are complicit. Amen. I think the government likes that word. We're complicit. Amen. God is good. God is so good. Amen. We can't praise Him enough. Amen. He is so wonderful. And not only does He heal us and bless us and anoint us, but He comforts us. Amen. When we can't find comfort in anything else or anybody else. So thank God for the comfort that He has. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're just going to go for just a little while in the book of St. Matthew. In the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. His sister Tabitha sang about the Word. Amen. How many is thankful that we have the written Word as well. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, we want to pick up in verse number 43 tonight through verse number 48. It's all good. Time would not allow us to cover every single one of the words of Jesus Christ as He was ministering to the multitude, often known as the Beatitudes. Amen. Those parts of the words that Jesus said, you will be blessed if. Amen. That if carries a lot of weight, doesn't it? Amen. We will be blessed if we obey the Lord. In the 5th chapter, beginning with verse number 43, thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray, God, that it would seek deep into our spirit tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that it would bring forth enrichment, God, and bring forth a desire to live holier, God, than we've ever done before, to seek you and to do your will. Father, we do remember those, as we prayed already, God, who need a touch of prayer. And Father, you know each and every need tonight. And Father, we pray that you would minister and touch to them. Lord, and I ask you now to anoint these lips of clay, God, as nothing more than a vessel to speak to us that you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we'll give you praise and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord tonight, give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. A mansion over the hilltop. Glory to God. How many knows it's going to be great? Everything that the Lord has in store for us, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. But it's going to be wonderful. Here we find, as I said already, in the words of Jesus as he begins in this scripture, he says that seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. Not only did his chosen disciples come, but a multitude came. And he began to say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of things of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to take you back to that little Sermon on the Hill, the Sermon on the Mount, as it's often referred to. I want you to understand and get a kind of a view or a vision of the people that were there. Reading in history, it was not a good time for the people of Israel. They were still under the authority of a Roman emperor. They were just kind of eking by a little bit. People that seemingly had lost everything and come through generation after generation of having things good for a while, and then suddenly everything was taken away and been captive again. And there was probably a lot of depression in that multitude. We know that there were many that were afflicted. There were many that had diseases and divers spirits, because they had heard of the fame of Jesus Christ, and they went to hear him and to see him and to have him touch those that were afflicted in many cases, and they were healed. But imagine, if you will, as they gathered there around him and he began to speak to them and he began to tell them these encouraging things. You can be blessed if this happens, or you can be blessed if that happens. And it probably sounded really, really good and enticing, especially to a people that was down on their luck, so to speak, and depressed, and probably living just hand to mouth, and many probably had walked a great distance, and it was a very encouraging sermon, to say the least. And then Jesus began to preach a little bit deeper, and he began to let them be aware of things that would come. And then he got down into the scripture, and beginning with verse number 43, they began to touch on something that is very, very important, not only in the day and hour that the children were there gathered around him listening to the sermon, but even today it is still just as necessary. And if I had a thought tonight, it would simply be love, not hate. Love will win souls to Christ. We find after that Jesus had begun to minister to them, he was telling them about his kingdom and about his desire. Many were uncertain of what Jesus' mission was. Some thought that he was a deliverer, or a physical deliverer of the oppression that they were in under the authority of a foreign country. Some thought that he was going to be the leader of a great rebellion. But so many times as he was called the king, or the Son of God, he would push that aside and say, no, that's not my reason. I'm here for the kingdom of God, and to bring folks into the kingdom of God. So his ministry and his words were not so much to tell everybody that you're going to have everything you always wanted on this earth, but he said, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. I've got something greater in store for those who will serve the Lord, those that will follow me, those that will hear what the words of God are. So he began to let them know and began to prepare them. How many knows that preparation is really, really vital? How many knows that persistency pays off? I heard a phrase this week. It said, water cuts rock not by power, but by persistency. Years and years and years of going the same way to wear down the rock, not by power. And that's a good message in that for us when we're following the leadership of God. So many times it's not the way that we want it. It's not instantaneously like we think that it might be. But if we'll be persistent, God will uphold his part of the bargain. So he says, you know, you've heard that we are to love our neighbor. And I can almost see the heads begin to nod as Jesus is entering into this particular part of his message or his sermon. You know, the first part, it was almost like they got the dessert first. Man, you know, and I don't know where that came. I don't know what the tradition was that dessert always follows the meal. But when I was a kid, I always thought the dessert ought to be first. And I found out later that mom said, no, you don't need all that sugary stuff first. You need to get your protein. You need to get your vitamins and all that. And, you know, eat that, and then you can have your dessert. And then she started saying, it's like, if you don't clean your plate, you don't get any dessert. So as they was listening to this, it was probably the sweetness and the dessert part of the message, and probably they were really getting into it and hearing that. But then I would begin to think that maybe when he said, you know, not only are to you to love your neighbors, But you are to love your enemies. I can imagine maybe some of them, did I hear that right? Or maybe look over to their person that's sitting beside them, did I hear what he said? And then Jesus began, he has a motive. I mean, Jesus doesn't talk just to be talking. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord was beneficial. And it's good for us to go back and be reacquainted with the Sermon on the Mount and the words that Jesus taught and the words that he spoke. But he said, you've heard that, and part of that is true. You are to love your neighbor, but you're also to love your enemy. Don't hate your enemy. But if I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Bless them. You know, we're all about getting blessings. We're all about loving the benefits of being a Christian. And basically what Christ is telling them, and he kind of tells it down there and later on in the scriptures, you are the children of God. And because you are the children of God, then there is a light within you. There is a difference in you. I mean, you would agree with me that when you gave your life to the Lord, when you asked him to come in and be Lord and Savior of your life, there was a transformation that took place. Can I get an amen? If there was not a transformation that took place, maybe we need to get back in the altar, because definitely there is a transformation in us. Do we become automatically perfect overnight? Absolutely not. The Spirit that is within us works with us and helps us and leads us and makes us become perfect, which if you look at that definition in the Hebrew, it means make you complete. Now, God is perfect. God is complete. There is nothing that is left out of the plan of God that he's not aware of. He knows everything. He knows the thoughts that we're thinking. He knows the plans that we have tomorrow. He knows our future when we don't know anything. So God is complete. And when Jesus is speaking here, he wants us to be more complete in the Lord. And so many times when we seek that completeness in the Lord, it means putting our desires behind us and living for the desires of the Lord. So as being children of God, as being children of righteousness, and when I'm speaking of righteousness, I'm speaking of the Spirit that is within us, then we are to be a different, separate people, amen, so that others can see Christ in us. So Jesus is telling them, when your enemies persecute you, you pray for them, you love them, and you bless them. I want to read a scripture that goes hand in hand with that, and that's in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. What does that mean? Don't ever get fed up doing right. Don't get aggravated doing things for others. Amen. As we have opportunity, the Bible says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, or if we don't lose heart. If you have an opportunity to do good for somebody, do it. And as you know, and it goes on to say, it's easy to do it for the brethren. It's easy to do it for the brothers and sisters who are in church. It's easy to do it for a born-again Christian. But Jesus takes it a step further. And it says, even do it to those who despitefully use you. Now, you know, treat them the way that Jesus would treat others. And how many times did Jesus go up to people and love them that other people had turned their back on, wouldn't have anything to do with them? I think about him walking into the leper colony. Everybody else, oh, no, 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 don't go there, don't go there. But Jesus went right up into the leper colony, and he healed them, and he loved them, and sent them on their way. And, you know, one out of the ten turned around and began to glorify him. Thank you. I want to tell you, don't think that you're going to get a pat on the back every time you bless somebody who's persecuted you. Amen. But according to the Word of God, that is our obligation, that is our duty, to bless them, to treat them as the Lord would treat them. And, you know, it may get thrown back in your face, but that's all right. We're not doing it for accolades. We're not doing it for praise. We're not doing it to lift ourselves up and say, look what I did for my brother. In fact, you'll be blessed better if you don't even tell anybody that's what you did for your brother or your sister. So the Bible goes on to say, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. There's another scripture that says, you know, that's just your reasonable service. If you're doing something good for the brothers and sisters in Christ, that's just your reasonable service. Hey, man, that's family. I mean, those, we do extra for family sometimes. But then the Bible says here, you know, you need to do it to all men. Do good to all men. Just do good. Just do the right thing, amen, and give God the honor and the glory. And I want to mention this before we get a little further in the scripture. I read this somewhere, and it was talking about why would you want to treat your enemy like a friend? Because if you continue to treat your enemy like an enemy, he will never become a friend. And more importantly, he will never become a friend of God. Wouldn't it be much better, rather than having an enemy for life, that you just continue to do good, minister to them, help them when the opportunity arises, bless them, pray for them, hopefully that enemy would become a child of God. Amen. A brother, making a brother that once was an enemy or once despitefully used you or even persecuted you or even said all manner of things about you. Now, it's easy to get down onto their level. It's easy to throw rocks back at them when they throw rocks at us, but Jesus said no. Hate is not the answer. Oh, that the world could comprehend that today. Hate is not the answer. Hate is never the answer. All hate does is drive a bigger wedge between you and that person or those persons, amen, that the whatever the confrontation is all about. If there's going to be a confrontation, let it be on their part. Say, Lord, you know what? I want to be a child of God, and I want to do the right thing, and I'm just going to bless them. I'm going to pray for them. If I have an opportunity to help them, that's what I'm going to do, because that's what Jesus is ministering here to those people on the Sermon on the Mount. So he starts off with, blessed are ye, blessed are ye, blessed are ye, all of these wonderful things. And then he goes on to say, you know what? You need to bless those who persecute you. Love your enemies. Love and bless those who despitefully use you. And if you want to become complete in the Lord, if you really, really want to get all of that negativity out of your life and out of your heart, just do the right thing, regardless of how it's accepted or not. You may do the right thing, and they may not even have it at all. You might try to speak a kind word to them, and they may just completely snub you. But rather than getting back and say, you know what, that's it, I'm not having anything else to do with them, just go off some, you know what, Lord, whatever it is, bless them, strengthen them, help me to love them, help me to forgive them. We have the utmost and most perfect example of forgiveness in Christ Jesus himself when he hung on the cross. Do we understand and know that being the Son of God, all power that the Father had was in the Son as well? Do you know that there were angels probably waiting at the command of the Jesus' voice to come down with flaming swords? We know there's a mighty army. Amen. The prophet saw it, amen, when he told his servant, he said, go out. He said, the enemy that's come to get us, look again and look around them. And all around them was an army with flaming swords, the angels of God. Don't you know they were waiting just on the word? If Jesus said, now come and deliver me, they would have been there. But Jesus had already got victory in the Garden of Eden when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But instead of calling the angels of God down to rescue him, and he could have totally annihilated those that persecuted him, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And can you imagine the people sitting around him and kind of mulling this over in their mind? Because they were under the authority of a Roman Empire. They were told when to do it, where to do it, and what to do. They were not really free. They were living under the power of another country. Probably many of them didn't know where their next meal would come from. Maybe some of them had been beaten. Maybe some of them had been persecuted. Maybe they had been despitefully used by the Roman soldiers that we read in history, how aggressive and mean they were to so many of the people. And here's this prophet, this Messiah, this great preacher, who's telling them that not only do you love your neighbor, your family, and your friends, but you love your enemies as well. I would imagine, just being human, that that would have been a little bit hard to swallow. But the way that Jesus brought the message, they didn't get up and leave. I believe it began to sink in, because he began to tell them this. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Mother used to have a saying, kill them with kindness. Y'all ever heard that saying? You know, rather than get down on their level and argue and fight and all that, just kind of kill them with kindness. Just be kind to them. Why? Because they're not going to do it. Okay? The righteous is the one that has to have and show the humility. If we're waiting on the unrighteous, the unsaved, those that still are living to themselves, those that still denied God and not accepted His wonderful gift of salvation, they're probably not going to be the first one to come to you. They're probably not going to be the first one to make the move. But we are the children of God. We're expected to be different. Man, Mama used to tell me, she said, I'm not their mother, I'm your mother. That meant that I was going to do what Mother said, me and my brother. We was going to be held, amen, to a different path, because she was going to get her way, amen, because she said, I'm not their mother, I can't do anything about them, but y'all are my children, and you will walk the line, blah, 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 blah. She had a lot more to say. But her point was, you're going to do what I say. And Jesus was saying, you know what, you are children of God. And you're wanting to be perfect. Are you wanting to be complete? Now, when you say perfect, a lot of people say, oh, I could never be perfect. That's the reason Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary. Not a one of us could be perfect. Amen. You could never miss a Sunday school class. You could be in church every time the doors open. You could read the Bible from front to back, and all of that's good and wonderful. Amen. But none of that saves you or redeems the sin nature that you have. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. How many agree with that? Aren't we thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? That's the reason he came and hung on the cross of Calvary, because we were imperfect. But what we're talking about here is being complete. Being complete in the Scripture. Being complete in following the Word of God and following the will of God. And not only do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, just in case you're wondering, that's not pray, Lord, do something to them. Lord, you said vengeance is mine. You will repay. When are you going to repay it? That's not the mindset I believe that Jesus was referring to. But pray for them, again, that they will become a brother or sister in Christ. And shouldn't that be our main goal with people? Whether they become a friend or not, that they'll be born again, that they will see the errors of their way and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Your lifestyle speaks volumes of testimony to them. How you react or how you act. And so many times we don't need to react with the same type of adversity that they come to us. You know, now I'm not saying be the devil's punching bag. Don't misunderstand me. There is a power within us, and God knows how to protect us and keep us. And I'm not saying that. But, you know, sometimes the little situations that arise and all, and then, you know, rather than praying for them, rather than trying to ease that relationship or whatever, we just kind of write them off. I am so glad that Jesus didn't write me off. Amen. In my early years, he had every opportunity to write me off. Say, I'm through with him. I'm not going to call him again. I've called and called and called, and he hadn't answered. He hadn't changed his ways. But you know what? He was so long-suffering with me. Amen. And if he was long-suffering with me, and we want to follow Jesus and be the children of God, can we not be long-suffering as well with other people? You know, it may take a little extra labor, amen, to make a friend out of those people. But Jesus is saying, go ahead and do that. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now, basically what he's talking about is that you may mimic as a child your father in heaven. You know, one of the greatest compliments that can probably be paid to a son is, you make me think of your dad. You know, I look in the mirror just about every morning, and I'm looking more and more like my daddy every day. And I have people say that. Said, you, in fact, they say, you look like little Charles. And you know, that's a wonderful compliment, because I know my dad and I love my dad, and that's great. But, you know, in a spiritual realm, you look like a child of God. Isn't that the greatest compliment you can have? And you know, the way they act like a child of God. They got so much love. They're humble. They're peacemaker. They're the one that calms the storm. They're the ones that's always reaching out and trying to comfort others. Isn't that what we are as ambassadors for Christ? Rather than turning our back on people or getting even with them because they did something to us, or saying something about them because they said something about us. And you know what? That's the quickest thing that we can think of, and that's what they said. Oh, yeah, love them neighbors, but hate them enemies. And Jesus said, no. Why don't you love your enemies as well? That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh, and listen to this, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. David never hardly could comprehend that. David, who was known as a man after God's own heart. David, the giant slayer. David, the king of Israel, the great king in battle and all, just never could understand why those that opposed God were being successful. How that they could, rise to popularity, and how that they could be blessed and all these other things. He couldn't understand it. Because they didn't serve God, and he did, and he wondered, why am I having it so bad when they're having it so good? Now, I know we as loving Christians have never, ever had that thought go through our mind, that we wonder why those that don't acknowledge God or seemingly don't have any problems and everything's going well, and here we are trying to live a life for Christ, and it seems like it's a struggle almost every day. Well, there's a simple way of looking at that. Our reward is yet to come. This is not my reward down here. This is not my final home. I'm just a stranger. I'm journeying through this life, amen, in expectation of a great life that the Lord has prepared already for me. And those that are living for today, unfortunately, if they don't make Christ their Lord and Savior, then they're reaping their reward as we speak now. So he said, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So there's going to be some successful people out there that don't acknowledge God. There's going to be some people that push other people down to rise to their places in society and all, and that's not right, and God's not pleased with that. But it's not our duty to hate them. It's not what God would want us to do, but rather to pray for them and love them as God has loved us. For if ye love them which love you... Basically, he's saying, what's the big deal? What have you done extra if you just love those that love you? Because, you know, everybody loves their family and loves their immediate little cliques and all. He said, even the publicans do the same thing. And if you salute your brother or want him to do good, then you're not doing any more than anybody else. He said, even the publicans do. But be ye therefore perfect or complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And this is where he, you know, begins to end the message. He starts it off with that wonderful blessing, are you, or blessed if you do this. And then tells you, you know, there's some obligations. How many knows there's obligations to walking a Christian life with the Lord? But they're not so difficult that we can't do it, as long as the Lord is our help and he will help us. And, you know, if you have a situation, if you have a confrontation, if you have a relationship that's gone south, or if you have something that... a person or people that you, for some reason, there's just that, you know, it's almost like two magnets opposite side. When you push them, they just push you away. You know, rather than, you know, just kind of washing your hands of them, just, you know, and you don't have to tell them that, hey, I'm praying that God will straighten you out. That's probably not going to be received real well. But in your prayer time, you can pray, Lord, you know, bless them. You know, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what situation that they got at home. You don't know what's going on in their heart or in their mind. They could be in constant turmoil. And some people, unfortunately, when they're like that, they take it out on others. You know, unfortunately, that's not the way to do. But maybe you don't know. You're not in their shoes. But again, you know, love them. Pray for them. And minister to them. And really, really pray that God would turn their lives around and God would give them peace. Because blessed are the peacemakers. That's us. That's the children of God. Again, they need to understand that as we profess to be a Christian, a born-again saint of God, there's something different in us. We're not like the world. We don't react like the world. We shouldn't react like the world. They should see something different in us. Not self-righteousness. I'm not talking about that. Not being a goody-goody or anything like that. None of us could ever be good without the Spirit of the Lord in us. But they need to see something in us. They don't need to see us blow up and pitch a fit and get mad and pout our lips out every time something doesn't go our way. And that's what Jesus is telling them. As ye therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those of the house of God, or especially those of the faith. And you'll never go wrong doing right. Can you say amen? You'll never go wrong doing right. And you know, again, don't wait on the pat on the back down here because it may never come. But God is aware of every kind deed that you do. Every time you go out of your way to help someone, God is aware of that. He knows your life. He knows what you're doing. And He also knows when we have opportunity to do good and we don't do it. Amen. So let's take advantage of those opportunities that arise. And they will arise sometimes on a daily basis. Do not be weary in your well-doing. Can you say amen? God bless you. We love you so very much. Appreciate each and every one of you. Tonight, Sister Penny had made a suggestion, and I thought about it. And the more I thought about it, I said, well, that's not a bad idea. After we dismiss tonight, some of you that if you want to stay, what we would like to do is pray for every pew in the choir and in the congregation. Just lay hands on them, and you know, if we got enough people, it won't take very, very long at all, but to pray for every one of them so that when people come in, you know, we understand there's a virus in the land, but we understand God's power too is greater than any sickness and any affliction, and there's nothing wrong with preparing and praying as we do the physical things that we need to do, but also live and operate by faith and just pray that everyone who comes in, God will put a hedge of protection about them. You think that'll be all right? And after we dismiss tonight, we'll do that. So would you stand tonight as we prepare to dismiss? If you have a need now, understand, come forward tonight. The altar is open. We'll pray with you if anyone has a need for prayer. Well, all right. Well, may God bless you. Hopefully you have a wonderful week. Amen. Look forward to being with us this weekend in service. And those of you, again, after we turn off the live stream and everything, what we'll do, we'll come up and pray first. And then we may just anoint every pew, if that's all right. Some of you, if you want to stay, that'd be great. All right. Let's just all pray tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so loving you and thanking you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy and for your word tonight and for those who've gathered. Father, we pray your blessing, God, upon each and every one, upon this church, to keep us safe, God, from sickness, God, from all these things that are in the world today. Father, we pray that you would just place a hedge of protection about us and about our family. God, I ask you to go with us now. Lord, lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. And Father, we pray, God, that you would just bless these folks, keep them safe on their journey. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.